Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Welcome to you all on this Mothering Sunday. Welcome to those here in the church and to those who are visitors. Welcome to those who are joining us online. The grace and peace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Let us worship God. We sing hymn 28, hymn 28 being Psalm 36, Thy Mercy, Lord, is in the heavens. The call to prayer comes from Psalm 84. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord Almighty! My soul yearns, even faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Let us pray. Gracious God, you are the fountain of life. Gladly we draw near to you, and with praise on our lips, we rejoice in your mercy and truth. Your love, O Lord, reaches to the heavens, and your faithfulness to the skies. Confronted by your greatness, we confess there are times when we take your goodness for granted and fail to be thankful for all that we have. There are times when we are more concerned with what we can receive from others than what we can give to them. And with shame we call to mind things we should have done but left undone, opportunities to do good that we missed, and words spoken in haste that caused hurt and pain. Loving God, we thank you that you love and care for each one of us, that for all our faults and weaknesses, you accept us as we are. Forgive us our sins, and as we experience the warmth of your embrace, strengthen us, that we may commit ourselves wholly and completely to you, the one who is worthy of glory, honour and praise. These things we humbly ask in Jesus' name, and together as the one people, we say the prayer he taught us. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory for ever. Amen. There'll be a further time of prayer in the McMichael Chapel following the service this morning. All are welcome. Requests for prayer can be attached to the prayer tree or placed in the box in the McMichael Chapel. Alternatively, prayer requests can be made online through the church website. The final Lent study will be held in the Church of the Holy Rood on Tuesday of this week, Tuesday, at 7 o'clock. The school Easter services take place this week, Borstone Primary School on Wednesday, and then St Ninian's Primary School on Friday. Do pray for these services and remember all the children and their teachers. A reminder of the Easter Holiday Club on Wednesday the 9th, Thursday the 10th, and Friday the 11th of April in our own hall from 10 to 12:30. There's not been a great uptake to date, so if you could help to spread the word about the Holiday Club. Registration forms are available out in the vestibule, or you can email me and I'll send a copy. And finally, just a reminder that there's a box for use stamps in the vestibule of the church. It can be very annoying when we lose things that are important or special to us, can't it? We all lose something at one time or another. I wonder if anyone would like to share with us something that you've lost recently. Anything that you've lost recently. I came out of the supermarket on Friday and I was speaking to someone and then could I remember where my car was? And you know that way where you're walking about with a trolley but you're hoping that no one realises that you can't remember where you parked. There's quite a lot of things that we can lose and I've got some things here. What about glasses? Sometimes you can lose your glasses, can't you? And you just wonder, where on earth are they? Or what about your phone? I'm sure I'm not alone in that if I'm in the manse and I can't find my mobile phone, I'll phone it from the landline in the hope that it will ring out, but it's a wee bit difficult if it's on silent. That can be a bit of a problem, can't it? What about your passport? I actually know someone, a good friend of mine, who the morning that they were due to go abroad on holiday could not find their passport and therefore they didn't go on holiday. Oh, I've always made sure if I'm going abroad that I've got this in my possession well before departure time. What about gloves? How many folk have lost gloves over the years? You leave them behind somewhere, but can you remember? I think maybe, and I hope I'm not being sexist here, but women can sometimes lose their umbrellas and wonder where they are. Or a wallet or a purse, and even worse if you lose your bank card. And keys, I think that's another thing too, isn't it? Often you can lose a key. Normally, we find what we have lost. And when we do, what a relief it is. There's a great sigh of, oh, thank goodness for that. And your blood pressure comes back down to normal. Jesus once told a story of a man who had two sons, the younger of whom went off to explore the world. But alas, he made some bad choices. And his father was very sad, and he felt that he had lost his son, and he wondered if he would ever find him again. Well, thankfully, the younger son did return home, and so happy was his father that a feast was held to celebrate his return. He said, "My son, who had been lost, is now found." Jesus told that story to tell us about the love of God, and it is a love that defies description. We are all human, and sometimes, like the younger son, we make the wrong choices. Sometimes we want things that are not ultimately good for us. But God is always there. And when we return to him and say sorry, his love is such, he forgives us and accepts us. We are, as followers of Jesus, invited to accept God's love and forgiveness, but we are also called to show that love and forgiveness in our dealings with one another. And as we reach out, we are to let people know that no matter who they are or what a mess they may have made of their lives, with God there is that love and forgiveness. There is the opportunity to start again. Thanks be to God. The church is forever. God's people are praising him. 522.
Thank you. The first reading this morning is from Psalm 32 and can be found on page 468 in the Pew Bible. Psalm 32. Happy is he whose offence is forgiven, whose sin is blotted out. Happy is he to whom the Lord imputes no fault, in whose spirit there is no deceit. While I refused to speak, my body wasted away with day-long moaning. For night and day your hand was heavy upon me. The sap in me dried up as in summer drought. When I acknowledged my sin to you, when I no longer concealed my guilt, but said, I shall confess my offence to the Lord, then you, for your part, remitted the penalty of my sin. So let every faithful heart pray to you in the hour of anxiety. When great floods threaten, they shall not touch him. You are a hiding place for me from distress. You guard me and enfold me in salvation. I shall teach you and guide you in the way you should go. I shall keep you under my eye. Do not behave like a horse or a mule, unreasoning creatures whose mettle must be curbed with bit and bridle so that they do not come near you. Many are the torments for the ungodly, but unfailing love enfolds those who trust in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord and be glad, you righteous ones. Sing aloud, all of honest heart. The second reading is taken from the Gospel of St. Luke at chapter 15, verses 1 to 3, and then at verse 11 in the New Testament and can be found on page 66, Luke 15. Another time, the tax collectors and sinners were all crowding in to listen to Jesus, and the Pharisees and scribes began murmuring their disapproval. This fellow, they said, welcomes sinners and eats with them. He answered them with this parable. There was once a man who had two sons, and the younger one said to his father, Father, give me my share of the property. So he divided his estate between them. A few days later, the younger son turned the whole of his share into cash and left for a distant country, where he squandered it in dissolute living. He had spent it all when a severe famine fell upon that country and he began to be in need. So he went and attached himself to one of the local landowners who sent him on his farm to mind the pigs. He would have been glad to fill his belly with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. Then he came to his senses. How many of my father's hired servants have more food than they can eat, he said. And here am I, starving to death. I will go at once to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against God and against you. I am no longer fit to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants. So he set off for his father's house. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him, and his heart went out to him. He ran to meet him, flung his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said, Father, I have sinned against God and against you. I am no longer fit to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, Quick, fetch a robe, the best we have, and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fatted calf and kill it, and let us celebrate with a feast. For this son of mine was dead and has come back to life. He was lost and is found, and the festivities began. Now the elder son had been out on the farm, and on his way back, as he approached the house, he heard music and dancing. He called one of the servants and asked what it meant. The servant told him, Your brother has come home, and your father has killed the fatted calf because he has him back safe and sound. But he was angry and refused to go in. His father came out and pleaded with him, but he retorted, "You know, I have slaved for you all these years. I've never once disobeyed your orders, yet you never gave me so much as a kid to celebrate with my friends. But now that this son of yours turns up, after running through your money with his women, you killed the fatted calf for him." "My boy," said the father, "you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. How could we fail to celebrate this happy day? Your brother here was dead and has come back to life. He was lost and has been found." Amen.
Thank you, Margaret. We sing the hymn 555, "Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me." Let us pray. Gracious God, as we remember how Jesus would often retreat to a quiet place in order to pray to you, so we take this time to speak to you, but we ask that it will also be a time when you speak to us. Lord God, as we reflect on Jesus' teaching, and particularly the parable of the prodigal son, we acknowledge it is also a parable of your abundant, unforgiving love. Even when we wander from you, you long for us to return. Even though at times we may give up on you, you never give up on us. Almighty God, as we remember the younger son who left home and went to a distant country, we pray for all who have been reckless in their lives and who find it difficult to live with the consequences of what they have done. May they know that with you there is always the opportunity to begin again. Lord God, as we think of the elder son who remained at home, we pray for all whose duties have become a burden and who no longer find fulfillment in their toil. May they be lifted in spirit and find pleasure once more in the daily round and common task. Gracious God, on this Mothering Sunday, we give thanks for our mothers and for all that they mean or have meant to us, for all that they do or once did. Bless them. We also pray for mothers today. Give them patience, devotion, and dedication, and may your love always surround and sustain them. Lord God, as we praise you for all that you give us, for our families and friends, for every new morning and the opportunities each day holds, we pray for those who are lost, that they may be found, for the lonely, that they may know your presence, for the sick, that they may be restored to health, and for the sad, remembering as we do the family and friends of George Goodwillie and Mary Thompson, be to them a comfort and source of help. God of glory, we pray for the world, and for the day when swords will be turned into plowshares and justice will roll like a river and righteousness like a mighty stream. And especially at this time, we pray for the people and places affected by the earthquake in Myanmar. We pray for the loved ones of those who have lost their lives. We pray for those trapped below rubble and stone. We pray for strength and energy for the first responders and those providing vital support in the coming days and weeks. We pray also that the political situation in Myanmar does not become a barrier to life-saving aid reaching the people who need it. Gracious God, hear our heartfelt prayer, for we offer it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. We sing the hymn 181, hymn 181, For the Beauty of the Earth. Jesus was the master storyteller. And through the stories that he told, he helped people understand more clearly what God is like. And we get an excellent example of that in what is called the parable of the prodigal son. Here is a story that most of us, I'm sure, will be familiar with. It is a story very rich in meaning, and it's a story that can be looked at from various angles. This morning, I would like us to begin by looking at it from the point of view of the youngest son. Now, what can we say about him? Well, if one didn't know what subsequently happened, one could speculate that he possessed a spirit of adventure, that he wanted to go and spread his wings and see what the world had to offer. And there's nothing, absolutely nothing, wrong with that. I remember in my first parish on Bute, a lot of the young farmers going off to Australia to gain experience of what it was like to work there in a country so very different in many ways from our own, not least with regard to the climate. And some of those young farmers decided to remain. They made their lives there in Australia. But those who came back all were better for their experience. And therefore, not knowing what the younger son went on to do, there's a sense in which we can admire his spirit of adventure. But, we are told certain things, aren't we? He couldn't wait until his father died to get the money that he would ultimately have been given. He wanted it now, there and then. He was impatient, to say the least. And when he got the money, well, what did he do with it? Did he budget? Did he put some of it aside for another time? No. Jesus was very clear. He squandered it in dissolute living. Now, I wondered, what does that word dissolute actually mean? And so I put it into a search engine, and here are some of the meanings that came up. Dissolute, indifferent to moral restraints, given to improper conduct, riotous. I think that's enough. We get the picture, don't we? And what became of the younger son? I rather imagine that while he had the money, he would be very popular with others. Others would be pleased to hang around with him and go to various parties and what have you. But when the money had been spent and he was left with nothing, I rather imagine that those so-called friends would have disappeared like snow off a dike. And as if that wasn't bad enough, at the same time in that far-off land, there was a famine. And so desperate did he become that he ended up looking after and feeding pigs. What a demeaning task that would have been, for remember, pigs were detested by Jews. They were considered to be unclean, and yet here was the younger son looking after them, feeding them, while he himself went hungry. he really had hit rock bottom. And it was at that point in the story that Jesus said something. He came to his senses. John Newton, the author of a number of hymns, including Amazing Grace, which we sang, and Glorious Things of Thee Are Spoken, and How Sweet the Name of Jesus Sounds, John Newton identified with the youngest son. He was a sailor who lived, in his words, a dissolute life. There's that word again. But he was also a bitter and angry young man who actively mocked those who believed in God. But then in the year 1748, the ship that he was on was caught in a severe storm and it began to sink. Newton prayed fervently and the storm died down. Newton didn't immediately come to faith that day, but he did say he came to his senses, and that was the beginning of his conversion to Christianity. And many years later, looking back on his life, Newton said this: I am not what I ought to be, but I am not what I once used to be. And by the grace of God, I am what I am. I imagine many of us today will be able to echo these words. The youngest son came to his senses. There is a world of hope in that phrase. He would return home to his father, and to his credit, he didn't expect a warm welcome. Indeed, he had resolved to admit his wrongdoing, and that is not always an easy thing to do. Our pride can get in the way. We don't want to lose face or admit we made a mistake, but deep down, we know it's the right thing to do. And that's what the youngest son, to his credit, resolved to do. And such was the shame he felt. He was willing to be treated like one of his father's hired servants. Is it too much to say he was a changed man, a better man, a more decent man as a result of his experience? I'm going to leave that one with you, for you to decide. And then there's the father in the story. Now, some look at the parable from the angle of the father. Perhaps those who are parents will be inclined to do so, not least if one of their children has caused them grief or pain because of decisions they made or the lifestyle they chose to have. I've often wondered why the father gave in to his youngest son's request for his inheritance. Did he not realize that giving him what he wanted wasn't actually in his best interest? Possibly. But perhaps he feared he would have a really hard time with the younger son at home if he didn't yield to his demand. Or maybe he gave in because, quite simply, he did not know what else to do. On this Mothering Sunday, I imagine parenting, while a great blessing for many, can also for some be a heavy burden, with more than a little heartache, and perhaps that's how it was for the father in our story. Why he gave in, we do not know. But some of you will perhaps be able to identify with the pain he must have felt thereafter, and the second guessing, the worry, and the constant wondering. What will become of my son or my daughter? Will he or she be okay? Will they ever return home? Isn't it true that bitterness can arise when someone abuses your trust or generosity and lets you down? There can also be anger and a feeling of betrayal, which can mean that it's hard, if not well nigh impossible, to forgive. And that is where the teaching of Jesus Christ can be so very challenging, and if the truth be told, in some instances, very disturbing. Those listening to Jesus tell his story would not have expected what he went on to say about the father's reaction when he saw his youngest son in the distance. They probably expected he would be shown the door and told not to come back. But it was not so. One gets the impression that from the day the lad had left home, his father constantly looked out for him, hoping that one day he would return. And then he did. And what a welcome he got. It was such a welcome that before the youngest son could complete his apology, he was kitted out like a noble, and the fatted calf was on the stove before it could say moo. What love and forgiveness there was in that father's heart. And said Jesus, that is how it is with God. There is such love and forgiveness in God's heart. For that reason, I agree with Professor William Barclay, who stated the parable should actually be called the parable of the loving father. Sometimes the older son in the story is forgotten, isn't he? But not today. I wonder how many of us identify with him and feel a degree of sympathy for him. He remained at home. By all accounts, he worked hard. He comes across as a responsible individual. He was the one his father could depend on and who would possibly look after him when he was old. Who wouldn't want a son like that? But then, lo and behold, the younger son comes home. Surely he will get a dressing down and a right good row, and then be given the silent treatment. Have you ever been given the silent treatment? That can be worse, can't it, than a good row, especially if it goes on and on. Not that I would know anything about that, of course. I actually do. Many of us will have a degree of pity for the older son. And that's understandable. But alas, his attitude and what he says reveals something about his character that Jesus does not find commendable. The older brother is that part in us that doesn't like it when somebody else gets something for nothing. His attitude and what he says reveal that his years of obedience to his father had actually been years of grim duty and not loving service. The older brother is that part in us that measures and weighs every deed for its value, every person for what they have earned or deserve, and who has decided that by comparison we aren't getting the deal we deserve to get, or that someone else is getting more than they should. Why on earth should there be a feast to celebrate the return of the younger son who had taken his father's hard-earned money and wasted it? Those who listen to Jesus tell his story would, like many today, have found the feast difficult. Difficult to understand. Let the penitent return, but let him return to bread and water, not the fatted calf and the fruit of the vineyard. Let him return to sackcloth and ashes, not to expensive robes and rings and merriment. The Pharisees to whom Jesus told his story, they loved to show how religious they were. At banquets, they took the place of honor. They were consumed by pride. When they saw Jesus welcoming sinners and eating with them and honoring them with his presence, they did not like it one bit. But when Jesus told them that God loved even them, that was a bitter pill to swallow. That was a step too far. The Pharisees, you see, couldn't accept this. And as a result, like the older son who couldn't accept his father's reaction when the younger son came home, they resented the notion that God's love extended beyond them, and because of that, they missed out on the feast. The feast that is for all who, to quote today's psalm, acknowledge their sin and are, as a consequence, enfolded in God's unfailing love. The feast is for all who respond to the good news at the heart of the gospel, the news of God's love and forgiveness that are abundant in the extreme. Glory be to the Father, to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Let's take a moment to reflect on God's love and forgiveness. Amen. Our closing hymn is one of gratitude to God for all his goodness, and it is one most appropriate on this Mothering Sunday. Hymn 182, hymn 182. Now thank we all our God. Go forth assured of God's love and forgiveness, and the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be upon you and remain with you, now and forevermore.